And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello, everyone, and God bless everyone.
Amen. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful contributions that has kept us on the air for over 40 years now. And we can't thank you enough. We just ask you to continue to do what you can. If you can do a little more, great. If not, we certainly appreciate all that you do. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group, although Father's schedule is a little bit busier than mine. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple quick announcements. The Matt Talbot Shrine is open in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, 29th and Dickinson. Open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following the 8:30 daily mass in the morning and open until about 4:30 in the afternoon. On Tuesdays, we have Talbot Tuesday, where we have adoration from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, followed by Matt Talbot Novena prayers and benediction. And then on 4 o'clock on Thursdays, we pray a rosary together. So you're more than welcome to come down and join us. Get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website ahead of time, and we'll be sure to meet you in church. Also coming up the weekend of February 9th to the 11th, just a couple of weeks away now, is another Divine Will Retreat. It'll be directed by Father B. Thomas Celso, who's been on with me a couple of times on Divine Will Wednesdays over the last year or so. You can register online at malvernretreat.com or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. We'd like to begin the show each week with prayer, so we'll begin with the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being one of the patrons of this show, along with Maximilian Kolbe and others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, sorry about that. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody's more than welcome to call in and join in the conversation. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. This is our second week on Facebook Live as well. If you're near a computer, smartphone, tablet, or other device that accesses Facebook, I'd encourage you to go out to Facebook and go to In His Sign Catholic Radio, our page out there, and you're actually able to see me. You can hear Father. We have video in the studio now and available again over Facebook Live. At the bottom of the hour, we want your calls. When we go to the break, when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. We are currently in the second week in Ordinary Time, and just a couple of saints in the liturgical calendar this week. Today we celebrate St. Anthony of Egypt, abbot, and on Saturday the 20th, St. Fabian, who was a pope and martyr, and St. Sebastian, also a martyr. All right, we thought we would start today with the saint of the day, which is St. Anthony the Abbot. And we also thought we would kick it off with the gospel from today's Mass, because it had it's what had a dramatic impact on St. Anthony, much like St. Francis of Assisi, when they hear this gospel and give up most of what they had in order to follow Christ. So the gospel today is taken from the 19th chapter of Matthew, verses 16 to 26. Someone approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So just quick background. A lot of it's in this gospel, but Anthony of Egypt lived in the third and fourth century. Dying in the year 356 at the year of 100, the age of 105, but basically had some money, and upon hearing this gospel, like I mentioned, much like St. Francis of Assisi, would give up most of what he had and go to the desert eventually, and really the beginning of monasticism would start with him. Didn't have elaborate cells or a monastery, but would take up hermitages and what have you, and live in isolation for the balance of his life. He also took in a lot of visitors, was a spiritual director. People would come to him, obviously, with questions about the spiritual life, which he was more than happy to take and help others with. And one of the things that was going on during that time, and we'll hear about it with St. Hilary of Poitiers, who we'll talk about in the second segment today. They lived around the same time, both of them dealing with the Arian heresy. The one other interesting thing I find with Anthony was at the age of 60, he hoped to be a martyr. The persecution had started up again in the year 311, and so he fearlessly exposed himself and hope to become a martyr. Fortunately for us, that didn't happen. And like I said, he would go on at the age of 88. He was fighting the Arian heresy, and would go on to live to the age of 105 before he would die. So that's Anthony of Egypt, whose feast day we celebrate today on January the 17th.
Yeah. I was just thinking, Ken, he could have took an easy way out, you know, a life, you know. His parents died before he hit 20, and very wealthy state, 200 acres, you know, nice, beautiful home, had a younger sister, and just kind of, his mom and dad kind of brought him up as Christian, and more or less homeschooled him in a real sense. and that right from the beginning, you know, he got a hunger and a thirst for God, and he was open to God's will. And always kind of pondering God and pondering the plan that God had for him. And that's when he was walking to church and thinking about perfection and what God wants of him. And then, of course, he heard that same gospel reading that you just proclaimed. If you seek perfection, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. And he took that literally, that God was talking directly to him. And he went out and he sold the property, he sold the estate, gave the money to the poor, he kept a certain amount of money for himself and for his sister, and then he goes back to church again and he hears that other reading, not to worry about tomorrow, and you know the kingdom of God's not about eating and drinking and clothing. And then he sold everything else, and he took the money that he had to take care of his sister, put her in a convent, and it was said that that was the origin of nuns living in convents, like monasteries. But as you said, he's the father of monks. He's the originator of the monastic way of life, the father of monasticism. And he goes off, there was another hermit at the time, and he was kind of really attracted to the way he was living, and talked to him, and then he went off by himself. And then he went into an old fort up on a hill, and he stayed there all by himself, solitude. And talk about fasting. He sometimes would be like he would eat every 3-4 days, and he only ate, like, drank water and eat nuts and dates. And, every once in a while, a friend would come by and throw bread over the wall. And then people began to know about him, and they started to be attracted to him. They would go to the wall, and he would give them spiritual advice through the wall. And, of course, as you mentioned, he would come out and fight against the Arian heresy. But he was good friends with St. Anastasius. And it was St. Anastasius that wrote the book about his life. And it's amazing how saints influence saints. They're mentors of each other. Because Augustine is going to be moved by the life of Anthony of the Desert, by that book that Athanasius wrote. So it's always like, I look at the saints, and they always have patron saints. And sometimes it's hard to have a spiritual director, but it seems like the patron saint is the spiritual director, because God somehow puts in the hearts this infusion, this attraction to particular saints in our lives. And we learn so much about the gospel from them. So here he is in the the monastery, and comes out, he comes back and forth, and they start building hermitages around him. And he had like 100 hermits all around him. And people would come and know about him. They wanted to get some advice from him. They wanted to meet him. They wanted to see him. And they would pick him out by the radiance on him, by the joy on him. He had so much beautiful joy and radiance. It was like he no longer lived, but it was Christ shining through him. And yet, in the beginning, he had a lot of struggles. You know, the devil was always at his back. The devil was always tempting him, even about the wealth. He said, you could have had everything, and you sold all that money. And then he'd be tempted by the devil and impure images, and that didn't work either. He kept, going to the Lord. But it was one time they had a terrible battle with Satan that actually fought him and beat him up, And then he said to the Lord, "Where were you when I needed you?" And the Lord said, "I was right there. I was right at your side, Anthony, and I was watching you in your combat." And it would go on and on. But it was the struggle of the worldliness, that he was tempted to go back to the worldliness, to the pleasures of the flesh pots, to the wealth of this world, to the pleasures of this world, even the sinful pleasures of this world. Not the pleasures of God, not the beauty of God's creation and finding pleasure in the sunrise and the sunset and in the beauty of the stars and the animals and the flowers and the bees and all other creatures of God. He would always enjoy those kind of pleasures. And, there were like philosophers and would come to him and try to dissuade him and try to prove him wrong. And he said, you don't even read books. You don't even have any books. And you have no knowledge. And he talked about, I have wisdom. Wisdom is greater than knowledge. Good deeds are really are better than knowledge by knowing things. And he had that. He had that infusion by God himself. And his book, he said, was creation. That he found God more in creation than anywhere else. He reminded me of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who said, I find God more in the books than more in the brooks than in the books, and how true really that is. But he had that terrible temptation of worldliness to go back, and he saw the world, and the world distracted him, and he was just so, he felt like a fish out of water after so many years. And it was just, the Lord appeared to him, and he was like on the other side of worldliness, and it was all these bushes and shrubs, and he didn't know how to get over to the other side, to the kingdom, to Jesus. And he says, Lord, how am I going to get over there? And Jesus said, humility, Anthony, humility. There it is right there. You know, humble hearts is giving God permission to come and take us over to the other side, to come and take us up Mount Zion to the Father, because we cannot do anything without Jesus. He's the vine and we're the branch, and apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing, and it's all a grace. But again, in temptations, when temptations would come, this is what he would do. He would arm himself with the sign of the cross, and then he would say, Jesus. And that's all it took. And the world, the flesh, and the devil went away because he came from his heart, and that holy name united him to Jesus. So he, it was no longer himself there, but it was Jesus at his side. And then, of course, he would let Jesus fight his battles. But just, you know, you look at this life, you know, little food. He wouldn't eat till sunset, sometimes only once or three or four times a day. And this is the point here. The devil dreads prayer and fasting, humility and good works. You put those all together. The devil's powerless. He has no power over us unless we give it to him. You know, in fact, the devil can do nothing but drive us more closely to the Lord to fight our battles. I used to always like to say, if the devil knocks at your door, let Jesus answer. Yeah. So up in the mountains and down the mountains in his monasteries, and people would come to be with him. But he said this, he said, perfection is the love of God, not mortification. You know, all that mortifying he did to himself, all that fasting and self-denial, that detachment from worldliness, that mortification of dying to himself strengthened his will. And it's in the will that we love God. And that's where the perfection is, the love of God. That was my morning prayer, if you remember, Ken, like after Mass today, after Communion. It's taken St. Francis of Ignatius, and how saints always are growing, you know, and I can see as I read them, when I read certain quotes in them, and later on it's like that certain quote is developing to a greater quote, and I never really picked that up before, but Ignatius' prayer was, you know, Lord, take my liberty, my understanding, my entire will, give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Your love and your grace are enough for me. And somewhere along the line, Ignatius must have came to that point where I came to, your love is enough for me. Give me only your love and your love, and that's enough for me. Because love conquers all. Love unites me with God. You know, whoever loves God, God loves him, and you abide in love and you abide in God, as in the letters of John would tell us, because God is love. And once I'm in love, I'm in peace, I'm in joy, I'm in God. And everything is so beautiful and wonderful. He talked about, you know, he would see this in the future of future monks in monasteries. He said, you'll see a lot of monks that would come, and they will be living high off the hog and big banquets and really comforts. And the only thing that would distinguish them would be their habits. And you see that so often. But he also said, but there will be others who will stay faithful to the gospel. And you know, and I think about what the Lord said, that, you know, about that narrow way that only few find. That narrow way is into the kingdom of God. Now, in this world, they're the saints that find it. It's not like there's only a few that are going to be saved and go to heaven. No, that narrow way is to go through that narrow way now and be perfect and holy, like our Heavenly Father is perfect and holy, because that's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. And how? Live the gospel. Marry the Word. And when we marry the Word and keep those commandments of Jesus, he reveals himself. And when he does, you know, you spring out of bed in the morning. You experience him throughout your day. You have that felt love of his, and that's all that really matters. And the night vigils he would do, contemplation, you know, it's just... Anyway, at the end of his life, he was 105 years old. You know, it's amazing because his teeth were not well worn. He didn't lose the teeth. He was healthy at 105, and yet he didn't live on a whole, you know, vitamin, you know, all these vitamins and foods and all that. But he was 105, and he called his disciples around him, and he just simply said, "Farewell, my children." They embraced him. Then he stretched out his feet, and he calmly ceased to breathe. You know, how beautiful.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the saints, when they go to God, it's just like a blown-out candle, you know. And it's not that hard for them. It's just like that transition of going through that last veil and seeing God face to face, because they have gone through their purgatory. And most of them are really in that Paschal mystery anyway, suffering with Jesus on the cross and then going home to the Father. But so much to these saints. But he called nature his great book. And, you know, all this nature, creation, it really points to the Creator, points to God. We are so blessed with so much. And all we have to do is open up our eyes and see how much God loves us in every blade of grass, every animal, every star, the sunrise, the sunset. It's all for us, Ken. And when we fall in love with him, that's all that's really mattered. I don't know. Lord, give me only your love and your love. That's enough for me. Amen.
Amen is right. I'll give out the phone numbers again. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or toll free 888-343-2484. And, you know, Anthony and St. Francis of Assisi, you know, almost a thousand years later, were moved by this particular gospel from Matthew to give up everything and follow Christ. And when we read it, it's like, do I have to give up everything? And I think your explanation there towards the end, where you know, we need to follow God closely, and some find it why they're still on this planet and maybe go straight to heaven. But for many of us, we may have to, you know, make a side trip through purgatory. And, you know, at the end here, where the disciples ask Christ, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus responds, "For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." And I think we should take a lot of consolation in that, because I know that I haven't given up everything. I've given up a lot, but haven't given up everything. And a lot of other people out there that maybe have given up very little. But, you know, as long as we follow Christ, you know, these things are possible, and that we may spend eternity with him in heaven. But we have to make the effort. That's for certain. And, you know, the other side of this is, apparently, that the video that's been going around and become viral, if you will, the term frequently used on the internet for things that get a lot of views or hits or what have you. And every once in a while, there's a sermon that'll make the rounds, and apparently, it's really going viral this time around, where a priest gives a homily or a sermon, you know, talking about how few people go to heaven. And I think that this particular gospel, again, should give us consolation that, that, you know, I think a whole lot more than a few will make it there. And I've seen good refutation of that homily from people like Daniel O'Connor and others who, you know, talk about other areas where Jesus talks about people getting to heaven and the numbers in particular, where he refers to many, which is... you know, is many, not just a few. So
yeah.
while all of us can't afford, and if I give up everything, then would that include the house and everything that I own, and what do I do about my wife and children and those types of things? So I think there's a spiritual way to give things up in addition to just the material.
Yeah. Well, in the end, you will, and I will, because he loves us. Naked I came into this world, naked I shall leave. But I was thinking about that camel. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. And, of course, the eye of the needle, that was an opening in the wall of the cities, and very often, instead of taking the long way around into the main gate, into the city, you could go through the eye of the needle with your camel. But you had to strip your camel, and you would take everything off your camel and put everything on the other side and then push your camel through the eye of the needle. The whole thing here, never say this is mine. I own nothing. It's all God. And, we're stewards to share with everything I have in my surplus. Belongs to the poor. And it's not so much, I can't have things. It's okay to have things. But it's not okay for things to have us, for things to possess us. I need to be detached and free from things because I can't have both worlds. I can't serve God and serve manna. One of the things, Ken, years ago when I was stationed at St. Francis Xavier, and I would go out and I would do my jog on Kelly Drive, right by the art museum, they had the statue of the Zeus, the god, and he's naked in the statue. It's life-size. And he's holding a little boy, his son, I imagine. And the little boy, one hand, his left hand, is holding onto a garment, and his right hand is reaching up for the father's face and to hug him. And the eyes of Zeus on the little boy, it's like he's saying to this, I mean no disrespect, but he's saying, leave go of the damn thing, son. Because it's damned, it's corrupting, it's going to pass, it's not going to make you happy. Pleasures don't make you happy. And come to me, I'll make you happy. Let go. And I looked at that and I said, boy, that's where I was back there. I wanted God, but I also wanted the world. And I couldn't have both, and I realized that. And all saints have to go through purgatory. They have to be stripped, and I have to be stripped. But I'm in my 70s. How long, Lord, how long do I have to go before I'm totally removed from worldliness in this world and just be totally yours in heaven and get this purgatory thing behind me and be in the unitive dimension with you? But if I don't do it here, and God loves us all so much, there's the gift of purgatory. Mm. He'll do it for us, in purgatory. And it's a step up. People in purgatory know they're going to heaven. St. John Vianney said it's better to pray for the living than for the souls in purgatory, because the souls in purgatory are guaranteed heaven, the living not so. I think what we really need to know, it's about being detached from things, not letting things own us, and not finding our pleasures in things, but finding our joy in the God who created us and seeing that joy. But yeah, St. Bernard said, man cannot live without pleasure. So it's not the appetite, it's the disordered appetites that take me away from God, not the ordered appetites, I love, tomorrow we'll go out to breakfast, have coffee with friends. That leads me to God, and I can have all those joys. But I can only wear one pair of pants, eat one meal at a time, and it's all about simplicity and just finding God in all things, Ken, and letting go of this passing world and taking hold of the world that never passes, the eternal world, the hand of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God itself.
Amen. Well, Father, that brings us to the bottom of the hour. I'll give out the phone numbers again. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks and you had that Otter God moment and you want to share it with us, give us a call, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. Bob, I know you're on the line. I didn't want to rush you in and out, so we'll take you as soon as we come back from the break. For everybody else, don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Reminder, if you haven't visited our website lately, please check out inhissign.com. You can donate easily there. And also, I try to do a good job of getting all the recordings of shows up on the podcast page. If you go to inhissign.com and click on content and then podcasts, you can get all the recordings. A lot of the shows now are on Facebook Live, so you can also go out to Facebook, do a search on In His Sign Catholic Radio, follow us, and then the videos are available there as well. Also want to get you up to date on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Father McKay and I get together most Tuesdays. We canceled this past Tuesday because of the weather. But most every Tuesday, we are in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel, corner of 29th and Dickinson Streets, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. And we get started at 6 o'clock with the Angelus and Adoration, and have Mass starting around 6:15, followed by our Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, and unfortunately that's what we had to cancel last night, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church for a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7, followed by Mass at 7 o'clock in February. That'll be on February the 20th. So all are welcome. It's the Holy Hour and Mass are for those that are in recovery, to pray for those that are still active in their addiction, as well as all the loved ones. So I don't know too many people today that don't know someone or some family that struggles due to addiction. So everybody is more than welcome to come and pray with us. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of each month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Tomorrow will be the third Thursday, so they'll get together there at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. Go pay my friend Tom Gallagher a visit. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke's in Glenside meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. That meeting will be this coming Saturday, January the 20th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet on Saturday, January the 27th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. My guest in the 5 o'clock hour today is going to be Dr. Helen Hoffner, and we'll be talking a book she wrote, Catholicism Everywhere. And if you didn't know that Catholicism was everywhere, you will by the end of the hour, trust me. So you'll want to stick around for that as well. So We're going to go to the phones, and we've only got one caller so far. We've got an open line. If you have an odd or God story you want to share with us, again, the phone number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. We're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob. Hello, Bob. Bob must have set the phone down. Yo, Bob.
No other callers.
All right.
You have one, Ken?
Not offhand. You know, like you shared last week, most of the odds are, odd or gods are, you know, they're happening, you know, day in and day out, moment in and moment out, it seems anymore.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said I was snowed in up there in Malvern and getting up early and praying and feeding the birds there and feeding the birds here and the Cardinals, the Blue Jays, you know. It's just like God showing himself off, you know, just the beauty of creation. And just I go out and whistle, they're not there, they come flying by, you know, breaking up the bread. But always think of that gospel passage that, you know, it's the Father feeds the birds, the sparrows, and everything. You know, God's always operating through us. Nothing good comes from us, but it comes through us from God himself. But, yeah, you're right. You know, it's all God, every heartbeat, yeah. Every step, yeah. everything. It's just being sensitive, being aware of his presence. And that's what it is, praying always, just being aware that God's always there. It's like when Jesus said to Anthony, I was right there all the time, right by your side. He's always by our side. And, you know, I was thinking of the humility, you know, where how do I get out of here, you know, and do this humility, Anthony, humility. And humility is giving God permission to take care of us. He won't force himself on us. So let us have what we want to have. He's too polite to interrupt us. But when we let him in, it's so beautiful. And like Augustine, they asked him, what are the three most important virtues? He said, humility, humility, and humility. And St. Francis de Sales held up a big sign, humility. But I really like St. Francis of Assisi. He said, the virtue that really devotes our hearts the closest to Jesus is poverty. Think of that, Ken. And it's like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Or the first step in AA came in a minute that we're powerless. When I'm powerless, I know I have nothing at all. You know, I'm empty inside. God comes and he fills me with every delight, with the peace and the joy that you don't find in a joint or a bottle or a syringe or on television or in food, but only in God himself. Yeah. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. But yeah, you know, all these saints, how well they speak about, you know, what's really important, the truths of our salvation that comes through the gospel, that comes from Jesus himself. You know, humility is to give Jesus, give God permission to take care of us. Just give him permission.
Amen.
He stands at the door and he knocks. Whoever answers that door, he comes in and we have supper together. We delight together. We rejoice together. We're one together. And boy, when the soul knows that, it's just so beautiful. You know, you're fulfilled. Yeah. You're overflowing with joy. Yeah, you humility, humility, and humility, giving God permission. But being empty. And let God fill us with poverty. Lady Poverty, that's what St. Francis married. That was his wife, his spouse, Lady Poverty.
Amen. And Bob did call back in. We're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken. I got cut off. I got disconnected somehow. It's good to hear your voice.
Man, good to hear yours. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny. I read Anthony's life story this morning. I've read it before, and I'm glad that you gave me the proper perspective, because I was thinking, this guy's a saint. He didn't do anything, you know. But the thing is that when Father Doug was mentioning St. Ignatius and, you know, I don't need anything, just give me your love, then I realized, yeah, Anthony didn't do anything. The only thing he did was love God with all his heart. That's everything, you know. So,
amen.
And you pointed it out, you know. So, and Father Doug gave me what I call a forever saying. He said it once, but it lasts forever. I always remember it. I'm like Amazing Grace when it says, after you've been there 10,000 years, it's still the same as the very moment it first happened. It's like, yeah. Father Doug once said to me that Jesus said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. I mean, that's overwhelming. That is absolutely positively overwhelming. And every time I think of that, it's like brand new. You know, I mean, I feel like when I came home from Vietnam, when I first walked into the apartment, my mother gave me a hug that was like the world's greatest hug of all time. And I can still feel it. And the same thing, I can, you know, I can feel that feeling when Father Doug said that to me. It's like, we say sometimes, oh, Lord, I am not worthy. How can I be unworthy if God loves me like that? I'll say the words, I am not worthy. But when I know God loves me like that, I feel worthy, you know?
Amen.
And, you know, St. Anthony, you know, like Jesus told us to be in the world but not of the world. Well, he was like, he had no distractions because he wasn't even really in the world. He was out of the world, you know? Mm. I mean, one of the greatest advantages of being a hermit is no peer pressure.
Yeah. Yep. But, Father.
So thank you for the perspective, you know?
But Bob, I was thinking of that quote, you know, that hit me maybe a week ago. And, you know, the gospel there, it's that book of glory in John. He's speaking to us. Jesus said, Father, I'm not only speaking to them, but those who believe who come after them, that I want them where I am. And where I am is at the right hand of the Father. That's where he's at. My wish is that I live in you and you live in me. But when he said those words, he was saying them to me and to you. It was so personal.
Douglas, as the
Father has loved me, I love you. And then he's saying, Douglas, love one another as I love you. Well, how does he love me? The way the Father loves him. And he died for me. And the Father sent him to die for me. I mean, that's love. My brother Harry, Bob. I remember he came home from a retreat at Malvern, and he was with the Jesuit priest, and he said to the Jesuit priest, Father, I just want to love God the way he loves me. And the priest slapped him on the knees and said, boy, do you have your work cut out for you. But that's true. You know, that love of God, it's everything. You know, I mean, he can't give us anything else, anything better than himself in love. And, you know, mercy, that's his greatest attribute, but that's his love in action. That he's taken away my sins because of his love. He's transformed me because of his love. He wants me with him for all eternity, with my loved ones, because of his love. Love conquers all by that grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Claim the grace, and we claim his love, and we abide in God, and he abides in us. It's always here to hear from you, Bob.
Good to hear from you, Father. And like I said, you've said so many things to me over the years, but that's my favorite. That's absolutely my favorite, you know? And and I think of it all the time. So it's wonderful, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Bob. Always good to hear from you, pal.
Good to hear from you.
You're not missing anything up here with the snow and ice.
Well, it was cold here today. It was 45 degrees.
Yeah, don't want to hear it. On that note, see you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right, Bob.
And we're going to go over and we'll get an update from Frank. Hey, Frank, how you doing, pal?
45 degrees. You can cook a turkey. Was that we're 12 degrees here?
Yeah, something like that. It was 12 degrees when I had the cat out of, or the dog out at 5:30 this morning.
Ken and Father Doug, that ulcer in my foot, they put a cast on it on January 4th. Last week, they're like, I'm scalpel happy. It got a lot bigger. The different doctors made me aggravated. Really kind of, man. But the last couple of days, it's not bothering me. I'm not drinking. I haven't thought about drinking over it. But I noticed just some reason since, like, New Year's Day. So far this year, I must have had at least a half a dozen times in my sleep, my dreams, I was drinking. One of the times I woke up with a hangover. I was all groggy, had a headache. I stopped having those things back in the 20s. I was just drunk all the time. I never got hungover. But, I mean, when you have drunk dreams, that's no indication. Does it mean your mind wants a drink, or are you leaning towards a drink? What is it?
I've heard many, many people over the years talk about them. Some people kind of laugh and say, well, you got a free load. and you, without losing your sobriety. But it depends on your frame of mind. There could be something going on, Frank, that's might be leading to those dreams. But I've never been one to look at dreams that way. Part of the reason is I rarely remember when I wake up what I actually dreamt. Although when those kind of dreams happen, I wake up, you know, shaking a little bit and thinking I lost my sobriety date or something, until I realized that it was just a dream. But as long as you continue to do what you're doing, man, and stick close to God, close to the people that are helping you the most, like Captain Lou, you're going to be all right. I don't, you know, but only you know for certain whether you're heading towards or away from a drink.
No, not at all, Kenneth. March will be 4 years. The first 2 years was kind of rough, but last 2 years, I don't think about it, I don't crave it, I don't want it. If I think about it, it makes me nauseous.
But we'll throw it over to Father, because I don't know, you know, if the evil one can also impact your dreams and knowing what's going on with the struggles you've had of late, and then, you know, throwing that in on top of it may be, you know, lead to a temptation. But Father?
Yeah, I was thinking of that too, about the devil when we're sleeping. Because sometimes we have nightmares, you know, they're not of God. And Satan has a way of, you know, putting images in our minds. Of course, there's no sin without consent, and you know, our will's not really there. But yeah, I would have those dreams too, that I would pick up and that I drank, and I would wake up and I would thank God. Oh, good, I didn't drink, you know. But I think, why? Why am I having these dreams and all? Maybe the devil's just trying to tempt me more, to make me think back of all those good times when I had that first drink and all those pleasures and party times down the river and in the bars and singing and dancing. You know, you can go back to that. Just pick up a drink. And I realized, like my brother Harry said, he came to the point where he would suck out of the bottle until he realized the bottle was sucking out of him, life. But, yeah, I think sometimes Satan can put his hand in there, you know, and give us nightmares and try to tempt us to go back to drink. But in your life, Frank, that didn't work at all. So he'll try something else.
I'm not going back. I don't want to. But Father Doug and Ken, you mentioned Captain Lou. He gave me a call today before I gave him a call, because I remembered it was Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Captain Lou has a famous saying: if it goes right, thank God. If it goes wrong, blame him. But I've known him, this spring will be 30 years. You can't blame Captain Lou for anything. I call him a living saint. I believe someday he'll be canonized. He'll be St. Lou of Packer Park. He's an amazing guy. If you listen, Captain Lou, you're going to be St. Lou of Packard Park, okay?
Yeah, nah, good man.
Have
Frank.
A good one, guys.
You too,
oh,
pal.
Also, Father Doug?
Yeah.
Our friend John, I know last time we were thinking about him, we were talking last week and a half or so. He's not calling. I call him every day, leave a message, no callbacks, no call. I hope he's okay. But before, when he does that, it means he's doing something else. Probably not. Maybe he just doesn't want to feel like talking, but just keep him in your prayers that he's okay, that's all. Just maybe I'm hoping he just don't feel like talking. I'm hoping he's doing okay, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Frank. And Captain Lou got my vote for sainthood.
There you go. Very
don't
good.
Forget, they'll name schools after him, but across the country. Yeah. But St. Lou at Packer Park, that's it. That's his little car there.
Very good.
Yeah. Have a going. Thanks.
All right, you too, Frank. Always good to hear you.
Frank.
Be good.
Yeah, you know, Ken, I was thinking of saints, like prophets are like saints, you know, you comfort the disturbed and you disturb the comfortable. But they always say, you know, I always like this line, to live with a saint in heaven is all glory. To live with a saint on earth, that's another story. Because saints do make us uncomfortable because they're living detached from worldliness, and they indict us in our consciences sometimes, you know, I want what I want. And you see a saint, you know. I always say, you know, I like to sing this song, like, hi-ho to cheerio, you know, I'm going to be a saint, because we're called to be saints. I don't consider myself as a saint, but an apprentice saint. That's my desire. That's all of our desire, you know, be holy and be perfect. And if we don't become saints in this life, blame no one but ourselves. Mm. Because our brothers and sisters who made it and did it, You know, they had the same tools. They had the same Eucharist, the same Blessed Mother, the same Saint Joseph, the same brother saints, the same Gospels, the same spiritual works of mercy, the same corporal works of mercy, the same everything, you know. So, like Matt Talbot, we often quote him, an urban mystic, really a saint, not canonized yet, but a mystic certainly, that if I can do it, he said, you can do it by the grace of God. We must go to God for the grace. And just, you know, there's that humility again, come out of our pride. What's it, P-R-I-D-E, primary reason I die early. I die early to grace because of my pride. I want to rise in grace, and that's humility that will bring me to the grace. And then we can all become saints because God calls us to it. And if he calls us to it, he will give us the power and the wisdom and the grace to become what he calls us to be, his saints, Ken.
Amen.
You know, you say saints, and people get like if I was in the room and asked everybody in the AA room, you know, how many here want to be saints? None of the hands went up one time I asked. And then I said, how many here want to be happy? Every hand went up. So I said, you want to be a saint? That's what a saint is. They're happy. They're joyful. They're delighted. They're enjoying life, you know. It's just you can't hurt them. Not even the martyrs are in ecstasy going to their deaths and praying for their enemies. But to be a saint, Ken, that's the calling for each and every one of us. And we have the Eucharist. We have our God who calls it to us, who loves us so much. And to be a saint is to be in love with God and God in love with us, because love conquers all and transcends us into his very image and likeness.
Very good. Give out the phone numbers one last time. We've only got about 7 minutes left here. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Toll free, 888-343-2484. Took a quick peek at Facebook, and I see our friend Johnny Midnight McGuire posted out there about money being the root of all evil, and not really the money itself, but what we do to get it, and what we do once we get it. And then shout out to Linda Dehaney and Anna Martin. Hello to you as well. Thanks for commenting on Facebook there.
Yeah, you know, the actual quote is not that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. Is the root of all evil.
Amen.
Often that's left out, the love of money, because we're not loving God anymore. We're loving the money. We're loving his things. Always say, if it's not leading to God, drop it like a hot potato. And it is, enjoy it. Because there it is, the natural appetites, you know, bring us to God. We need him. You know, yeah. So those disordered appetites, Ken, that take us away, lead us into that ego, that selfishness. And then we lose that peace, that joy. We get miserable, you know. We're anxious. We're fearful. We're worried. We're argumentative. All those things happen. But when we love God, there's peace. Peace. Amen.
Yeah, Lord knows I know all about disordered appetites.
Me too.
Yeah. So we got about 5 minutes left. Do we want to talk about St. Hilary?
Yeah.
Okay. St. Hilary of Poitiers, we had his feast day last Saturday on the 13th. He was actually a contemporary of St. Anthony of Egypt. He was born around the year 315 and died around the year 368. Staunch defender of the divinity of Christ, and again was around the time of Arianism. He was the bishop of Poitiers there in France, and he would end up getting exiled because of his belief. The Emperor Constantius ordered all the bishops of the West to sign a condemnation of Athanasius, who was defending arguing against Arianism in the East. And when Hilary wouldn't sign, he got banished to Phrygia, often mentioned in St. Paul's writings. And eventually he would be called the Athanasius of the West. While he was in exile, he got invited by some people that were lukewarm about Arianism, hoping that he would come back and be part of a reconciliation. But when he got back, he defended the church once again. And when he sought public debate against the heretical bishop who had exiled him, they pleaded with the empire to send the troublemaker back home. And so they did. and Hillary went back to Poitiers, France, and again would die in the year 368. St. Hilary of Poitiers, whose feast day we celebrated last Saturday, the 13th.
Yeah, St. Jerome called him a trumpet against the Arians. You know, called God first cause, unchangeable, all-powerful, eternal. Actually, he was married, Ken. He had a daughter as well. But he recommended to begin every action and discourse with prayer. I mean, there it is, you know, prayer. Life is fragile. Handle it with prayer. We have this gift to pray. And we, you know, so many of us don't use it. It's right there all the time. All we have to do, like Anthony, call on the holy name of Jesus, and we're in communion with him. And when he went into exile, you know, he saw it as a pleasure trip. It's when he did the writings. He was able to compose and learn works, especially on the Trinity. By nature, he was the gentlest of men, full of courtesy, friendliness to all. Yet he was firm with the Emperor Constantius, you know. But, yeah, you know, I would like to be exile. I like to write, you know. It'd be like a hermit, you know, in there. But anyway, how he defended the divinity of Jesus. I mean, it's so important to see Jesus Christ as God, because everything he says in that gospel is all true. It's all true. Yeah, Jesus never came out and said, I am God, but boy, did he act like it. He was crucified because you're acting like God. You're blaspheming, you know. Only God can control nature. He could stand up in the boat and in his own word just say to the storm, be calm, and the weather would obey him. The little girl, get up. Only God can give life. Talitha kum, rise, and we rise. And he spoke with authority. He didn't quote anybody. Rabbi so-so said, or the scribe said, I say to you, with that authority, you know, forgive one another. I say to you, turn the other cheek. I say to you, pick up your cross and follow me. I say to you, you know, it's all his own authority showing he's God. But one of the things that hit me the most, Ken, is, you know, John's gospel. It's all highly Christological divinity. But it's when the soldiers came to arrest him in the agony in the garden, and they said, where's Jesus of Nazareth? And he says this, ego e me. And the soldiers fall back to the ground, their faces. Ego e me, the Greek words, I am. He's taking the name that God took at the burning bush. Where Moses said, who am I? Who should I say sending me? Tell them, I am who am. That's the name Yahweh. Yahweh. I am who am. And he's taken that name. And that's why they want to kill him. Because you, a man, you're acting like God. But it's so important for us. Like, this is love. God shows us how to love. There's no greater condensation than God becomes human. So that our humanity, me and you, may become God. By participation, for God loved the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, second person of the Blessed Trinity, that all who believe in him may never die but have eternal life, Ken.
Amen.
Eternal life.
All right.
It's divine.
You got 30 seconds left to get a blessing, Father, if you would.
Yeah, I was remembering, I just got that text for Claire McGovern, which is Claire McGuire. She was the sister of Bernie McGuire, one of my drinking buddies years ago, but also the godmother of Pat Kennedy, our technician there. Yeah. So we want to remember her. Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, bless us all with that deeper awareness of your love and help us to love one another the way you love us so that we may have that peace and joy in all the virtues of your heart. So bless us all our listeners, all of our loved ones who are departed, and especially Claire. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls,
of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
Name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
Thank you, Father.
Well, thanks, Ken.
All right, pal. God bless you. Our 5 o'clock guest is already on the line, so we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Helen Hoffner. Don't go away. Be right back.